How's it going, bud?
Pretty good.
Are you getting anything?
Yeah.
Can you tell?
Mm-hmm.
All right. This is a very crude synopsis of the sixth draft of the Master Universe Hypothesis, which has long since been retitled First Commentary on the Urantia Book. We start out with three prologues in eternity. Each of these prologues relates to the three pre-creative levels of the function of total deity as portrayed on page 2 of the Urantia Papers. Prologue A. The key word is static. Here we have deity, self-contained, self-existent. This static level of deity existed in the dawn of eternity. It exists today. It is ever existent. It is eternal. God is. The I Am is. The Absolute is. God does nothing. Deity does nothing. The Absolute does nothing. The mere fact of existence is the overriding reality which completely predominates this level of the function of total deity. This is referred to elsewhere in the papers as the hypothetical static moment of eternity, and as the papers say, actuals are still contained within their potentials, and potentials have yet to differentiate from the unqualified infinity of reality. Prologue B. This is the second level of total deity function. Here we have potentials separating themselves. In other words, at the second level of total deity function, something could happen. Something is contemplated. In the static level, nothing is contemplated. All we have is something which is. In the second level, we have the concept of a future in contrast to the everlasting continuum of the eternal present. Time is foreshadowed in the second level. Time is not existent. It is merely suggested as a time creature perceives the second level in relation to the first level. Because when you talk about potentials, you are talking about that which could come into being. And this implies a future tense in relation to a present tense. In the static level, we have only an unqualifiedly present tense. In the potential level, we have the implication of a future tense. In terms of deity evolution, the potential level is vastly different from the static level. In the static level, we have one absolute, containing within itself the possibility of self-will. In the potential level, we have a separation of absolutes. We have that which is deity, volitional, purposeful, hence qualified, moving out and away from that which remains left behind as non-deity, reactive, unqualified. This is the differentiation of the qualified absolute from the unqualified absolute. In the third, or let's say, prologue C, and all of these prologues are in eternity, we have the term associative. First of all, this implies the associative function of the universal absolute. Now, this is important to note. When the qualified absolute separated from the unqualified absolute, the two became perfectly unified by the presence and function and compensatory action of the universal absolute. So this involves no disunity in infinity. The three absolutes are perfectly unified. Let's pursue this still further. In this same level of associativeness, the Father separated himself from that absolute personality, which thus became the eternal Son. And in so separating himself, God became not the absolute personality, for that is his Son, but he became the Father of the absolute person, hence the universal Father of all persons. At the same time, God expressed himself in a non-deity sense, if the Son may be regarded as the first deity thesis, then paradise may be regarded as the first non-deity antithesis. Paradise is the absolute opposite of the eternal Son. Now, if this were a mechanical universe, if God were a machine and not a person, then we could confidently predict that God would duplicate the union of actual reality as he had previously unified potential reality, the three absolutes. Had God unified actual reality, this would have meant the appearance of some being who would perfectly unify the Isle of Paradise and the Eternal Son. It is interesting to note that this did not happen. Actual reality was not unified. The unification took place on deity levels, not on the levels of actuality. The unification took place in the appearance of the conjoint actor and the formation of the Paradise Trinity, which is a union of deity, not a union of actualities. Paradise was left orphaned as an actual in the cosmos. Of course, at the same time, the central universe of Evona came into existence in a pre-creative sense. So now we have, at the close of our last prologue in eternity, we have an imbalance. We have an asymmetrical situation, not a mathematically symmetrical situation. We have an aesthetic, artistic asymmetry, which puts the future of creation not in balance, but out of balance, because paradise is associated with nothing in terms of total synthesis. Let's take inventory of the situation at the end of eternity, just before the beginning of time. We have three absolute potentialities perfectly unified. We have three infinite personalizations of deity perfectly unified in the paradise trinity. We have paradise, not trinity unified, although trinity dominated, and yet not directly related to the absolutes, although closely associated with the unqualified absolute. And we have the central universe of eternity, a universe which never was created. It is a pre-creative expression of divinity. We can now embark upon our first story. This is the beginning of the expression of deity in time and space, and in transcended time and space. Up until now, all we have been considering is the existential, eternal, pre-creative expression of deity. From here on, we are considering the experiential time-space and transcended time-space expression of deity, first in the grand universe, second in the master universe. At the dawn of the second universe age, which is the present universe age, we find deity moving into the fourth level of expression, creativity. The gods create. The first real creative act of the deities was the personalization of the 21 ancients of days. These beings were created. They had an historic origin. Their immediate seniors, the eternals of days, never were created. They are pre-creative expressions of the Trinity in pre-creative Avona. As we examine the fourth and fifth level of deity expression, creative and evolutional, we are looking at the transactions of the second universe age. The second universe age presents a Hegelian situation. We have now Avona as a creative thesis of deity. We are switching our terms at this point, and this is a subtle distinction. In the first universe age, which had no beginning, but did have an ending, Havona is a pre-creative existence. In the second universe age, in which we now live, we practically regard Havona as a creation. Much of Havona is truly created Malvorian. All of the secondary Supernafin, many of the tertiary Supernafin. The spirits of the circuits may be pre-creative, but their function was not even discovered until the 7 superuniverses were projected. Let us consider Havona as the first nuclear universe, and as the 7 superuniverses as a cytoplasmic universe in relation to nuclear Havona. Let's state this in a different way. Let's say that Havona is the creative thesis of perfection, and the 7 superuniverses are the responsive antithesis of imperfection. The challenge is to produce a synthesis between the perfect and the imperfect. We know how this is done. Eventually, the 7 supercreations will achieve a perfection which will qualify them to march step by step with the central universe of perfection. This can be exemplified for when a Finaliter trinitizes with a Havona native to produce a creature trinitized son. Here is a literal synthesis of evolutionary perfection associated with creative perfection. In time, Hegel's concept of thesis, antithesis, synthesis is portrayed in the evolution of the master universe by the appearance of the Supreme Being. God the Supreme, when finally evolved, will actually synthesize Havona perfection plus the perfected evolutionary achievements of the 7 supercreations. The real synthesis of the first story is the emergence of the Supreme Being. How is the grand universe related to the 4 outer space levels? Well, I would submit that the grand universe is the second nuclear creation. A nuclear universe, the appearance of a nuclear universe, is witnessed by the appearance of new deity. Havona saw the birth of the infinite spirit. The completion of the grand universe witnesses the appearance of the Supreme Being. Secondly, the appearance of a nuclear universe witnesses the appearance of a new trinity. Let's test this. The appearance of Havona is concomitant with the birth of the infinite spirit, and the appearance of the spirit completes the paradise trinity. Similarly, the perfection of the grand universe, the 7 superuniverses, as dependent on Havona, witnesses the appearance of the Supreme Being, and his appearance makes possible the first function of the first experiential trinity, comprised of the Supreme Being, the architects of the master universe, and the supreme creators. The supreme creators being the master spirits, the ancients of days, and the Creator Son, Creative Spirit, unions. If this concept is valid, then we are about to embark upon a further expansion of the creativity and evolution of deity, this time in the four outer space levels of the Master Universe. And we know that these four outer space levels are enormously greater than the entire grand universe. At this point, we might consider a new principle. We have seen that the Havona thesis existed in relation to the superuniverse antithesis, and that the settling of the seven superuniverses in light and life made possible the first experiential synthesis. Now, I would submit, at this point, we are going to discover a new principle. An old synthesis transforms itself into a new thesis. The first experiential synthesis is the Supreme Being. The new thesis is the first experiential Trinity. The new nuclear universe is the grand universe. It exists in relationship to the cytoplasmic universes of the four outer space levels. In what way these outer space creations will be antithetical to the grand universe, I do not know. We cannot forecast the type of creature who will exist out there. We may be sure he will be like nothing which has lived in the central universe of eternity or in the evolutionary super creations. The continued expansion of the forces of divinity emanating from paradise presages the continued march of the paradise creator sons through outer space, of the finaliters, and of beings that we probably don't know anything about. This is the creative an evolutional expansion of deity, not in time and space, but in transcended time, in transcended space. This involves not the finite approach to the Universal Father. This involves the absonite, transcendental approach to the Universal Father. In these outer space regions, finaliters will begin to taste destiny attainment as they function with increasing responsibility as administrators of these ever-expanding domains and begin to realize the destiny which is available to man when he really goes into partnership with an infinite God on the outside and with a fragment of that infinite God on the inside. Someday there will be a second experiential synthesis. This can happen because the master universe is not infinite. God the ultimate is not infinite. Someday, it's just a matter of the passage of many, many, many time units, years, call them what you like. So long as they're finite, they will come to an end. Someday, the master universe will be completed, to and including the fourth outer space level. And then, for the first time, deity can begin to function, not in potential, but in actuality, on the seventh level of total deity function, as portrayed on page 2. This means the emergence of God the ultimate. This means the completion of the whole master universe, the first, second, third, and the fourth outer space level. We have sometimes calculated that if the grand universe, the seven super universes and Nirvana, were represented by a tennis ball, that the whole master universe would be considerably larger than the moon which encircles our Earth. This is the qualitative difference in the magnitude between that which is required for the evolution of the Supreme Being and that which will be required for the eventuational emergence of God the ultimate. Regardless, God the ultimate is less than infinite. So someday he will emerge. This will happen. We are not talking about hypothetical conjectures. Someday, God the ultimate will personify the second experiential synthesis, the synthesis of the outer space levels with the grand universe. Is this the end of things? Well, on page 2 it ends. And yet, if you read the last paragraph on page 2, it refers to an absolute level. It says that this absolute level is not attained experientially, but is attained by the Paradise Trinity existentially. If you turn to page 4 and read about the deity absolute, you discover they refer to super creative things. So let's start a third story. Our first story was the finite story. Here we found Havona, the first thesis, the super universes, the first antithesis, the supreme being, the first synthesis. And then we saw old synthesis becoming new thesis. We saw the grand universe not as the completion of the creative and evolutional expression of deity. We saw the grand universe as becoming the second great creative thesis of deity and the first experiential trinity as the second creative thesis of deity at the Trinity level. Now, let's extend this same line of reasoning to the completion of the master universe. We see a second synthesis. We now have God the ultimate as an actuality. If God the ultimate is in existence, we also have the second experiential trinity in existence. We now have the master universe, not as a final and completed goal, but merely as a tremendous existential experiential nucleus, which must exist in relation to some cytoplasmic creation outside of the master universe, which the papers refer to in several places as the cosmos infinite. We can start this third story, but we can't finish. Perhaps at this point we should stop telling a story. We started out with prologues in eternity. Suppose we finish this story with epilogues in eternity. We started with prologue A, B, and C. Perhaps we should finish with prologue X, Y, and Z. If we do this, then in the Greek alphabet, we shall have started with Alpha, we shall have ended with Omega. Consider prologue X, epilogue X. We have a completed master universe. We have the appearance of the second experiential trinity, comprised of God the Supreme, God the Ultimate, and the unrevealed consummator of universe destiny. In many ways, we are passing through a stage of growth which is analogous to the third level of deity function, the associative level. Let's go back to this level. What do we find? Way back in the dawn of eternity, before Havona, before the Infinite Spirit, we find three actualities. We find God the Father and God the Son, two existential deities. We find them situated on the Isle of Paradise, which is an existential power nucleus for outward expansion. What did the Father and the Son do? They trinitized their deity equal, the Infinite Spirit, thus consummating the Paradise Trinity and simultaneously giving expression to the perfect central universe of eternity. Let's go now from the third level of deity function to epilogue X, to a conjectured eighth level of the function of total deity. Let us see if we can find any parallel between level 3 and level 8. In level 8, which is post-ultimate, we have a completed master universe, an experiential power nucleus and two experiential deities. This sounds familiar, doesn't it? Two deities and a power nucleus, which they can mobilize. The Supreme and the Ultimate are neither of them infinite, as are the Father and the Son. Neither is their power nucleus infinite, as is paradise. Still, what mighty beings are these, Supreme and Ultimate, who have experientially grown with the growth of the total master universe, and this power nucleus of experience they can mobilize? I would submit that Epilogue X will be analogous to Prologue C. I think these two experiential deities will trinitize God the Absolute out of the potentials of the Deity Absolute. There is warrant for this speculation in the foreword itself. In the last paragraph, near the last paragraph, in the section discussing the Trinities, the papers say, in essence, we don't see how the Deity Absolute can ever be personalized, and yet the Paradise Trinity is an ever-present reminder that Trinitization may accomplish what is otherwise unattainable. If the Supreme and the Ultimate should trinitize God the Absolute, then they would become unified as the Supreme Ultimate, written with a hyphen connecting the two. We find this expression used in the papers. God the Absolute, so trinitized, would not be an infinite deity. Neither the Supreme nor the Ultimate are infinite, but they could undoubtedly give trinitization expression to God the Absolute as a bona fide absolute who is sub-infinite in existence. I'm inclined to caption Prologue X as re-associative. This parallels the terminology used in the foreword, which describes the third level of deity function as associative. Here in a conjectured eighth level, we have re-associative deity. What does this involve? Frankly, I think it means the appearance of the Trinity of Trinities. The Trinity made up of the Paradise Trinity, Father, Son, Spirit. Number two, the first experiential Trinity, the Supreme Being, architects of the Master Universe, and the Supreme Creators, and the second experiential Trinity, Supreme Being, God the Ultimate, Consummator of Universe Destiny. The second level of this Trinity, of Trinities, would be comprised of the three experiential deities, God the Supreme, God the Ultimate, and the trinitized expression of God the Absolute. The third level, let's leave that moment. Now we're up against prologue Y. And here we might consider a possible ninth level of total deity function. We're not going to get out of this one with a whole skin. You see, way back in the third level, God decided to set up an asymmetrical relationship between absolutes. He did not unify the eternal sun in the Isle of Paradise. He did unify his relationship to the sun by the Spirit and in the Paradise Trinity. Consider the problems of epilogue Y, our second epilogue in eternity. All throughout the creative, the evolutional, the expansion of deity, all throughout the consolidation of this expansion on the levels of the finite, in the supreme, and on the levels of the absonite, in the ultimate, we have been witnessing a larger and larger expression of power, personality, unification. At this point, we might well remind ourselves that in the present universe age, God the Sevenfold implies not just the sevenfold creators, but the sevenfold controllers. Not just Father, Son, Spirit, Supreme, Master Spirits, Ancients of Days, and Creator Sons with their associates, but also God is the universal controller. Paradise as the physical center of all things. The third source and center as the infinite manipulator. The supreme power directors. The almighty supreme, out of place by one level. The master physical controllers, the supreme power centers. This involves a unification of the physical and the spiritual by the mediation of mind. This is expressed elsewhere in the papers as on paradise, the three energies are identical in Havona, harmonious and coordinate. But in the super creations, the evolutionary universes of time and space, energy matter is dominant, save in personality, where spirit, through the mediation of mind, is striving for the mastery. Coming back to epilogue Y. What do we call this level of deity function? Well, the second level is potential. This might be thought of as actualized potential. If this level could ever be consummated experientially, it would involve the experiential unification of the deity absolute rather, God the Absolute, with the unqualified Absolute. I believe it's axiomatic that this can never happen. This would imply the exhaustion of infinity, the completion of eternity, the end of all growth. Be that as it may, I would submit that eternal progress will be made in this direction, even though such progress is in pursuit of a goal which may be receding faster than we are making progress in its direction. I like this idea. When we actually attack the final goal, we discover we are approaching a receding goal. And this means that human growth, finite growth, the growth of man's relationship to God is eternal. It can never end. It will never be consummated. Neither will it ever be frustrated. So long as you're making progress, you experience no frustration. But if you ever did actually achieve this goal, how great would be your frustration? Epilogue Z, which we might call Epilogue Omega. Raises the question, if we have three trinities at the first level of the Trinity of Trinities, and one of these trinities is infinite, that's the Paradise Trinity. If we have three experiential deities, God the Supreme, God the Ultimate, God the Absolute, at the second level, Epilogue Omega asks the question, what is at the third level? I think we are impinging on the universal absolute at this point. Consider the first level of total deity function is static. I would like to use for the 10th level the term static dynamic. This 10th level would be an experiential, existential level. It would be a finite, absolute level. It would be a time, eternity level. Near the end of the foreword, in the discussion of the universal absolute, every one of these terms are used in one paragraph. I would call this 10th level the static, dynamic level of total deity function. I don't think we're going to penetrate this level. The ninth level, yes, not the tenth. I'm inclined to subscribe to the opinion expressed by the universal censor who writes Paper 10 and who says, in essence, I once lived in the universe. I once worked in the universe where the Melchizedeks taught that the finaliters were sometime going to become the children of the deity absolute. Maybe so, maybe no. Possibly this might happen. But even if it should, still, in the faraway stretches of the eternity of eternities, the problem of the universal absolute will continue to baffle and mystify the finaliters, because as we perceive it, the complexities of the universal absolute are growing faster than the finaliters are growing. To me, this story means someday we shall go into paradise. As the papers tell us, we'll find God. As finite creatures will find God, we'll find God as a finite reality, that being the limits of our comprehension capacity. Someday, when history is being written in the space levels of outer space, we shall become acquainted with God, with the Father, as an absonite, a transcendental experience. And at the end of the growth of the Master Universe, we shall know God as ultimate, even as we once knew him as supreme and finite. And then, in that which follows the epochs of the Master Universe, we will begin the approach to the Universal Father as absolute. We will begin, but we will never complete this approach to God. We will know God as absolute. This is a qualitative appreciation of the nature of God. But we will never know God as infinite, because this implies that we have exhausted our capacity and the capacity of the universe for future growth. That's it.
Great. That's your Master Universe, Bill.
Yeah.